Greetings in Christ Jesus, and welcome again to the Twin Steeples podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Nauman, joined today by Pastor Neil Radical. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota, whose main goals are to share God's saving word and to communicate the ongoing activity of Christ's kingdom at Emmanuel. Today is Wednesday, January 6th, 2021. Blessed New Year to you, Pastor. How are you today?
I'm blessed. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Today, I thought we could start with a brief devotion on Psalm 118, verses 14 through 18. These verses have been a great source of comfort to me in the last few days. Many of you likely heard this past Sunday, January 3rd, my mother passed from this life into the next one. I know many of you have been keeping her in your thoughts and prayers through this time, and it certainly has been challenging for me and my family, but as sad as and heavy as our hearts are now, we are also rejoiced in the salvation won for her by her Savior, Jesus Christ, and the fact that she's no longer suffering here on earth, but that she's in heaven with the Lord, where there's unending joy and happiness, and where the sorrow and tears and tumor and cancer can no longer bother her. So we thank the Lord for that. And I've sent these verses to many of you who have sent letters of condolences and emails and texts. These verses have really resounded with me. So I shared them with you, and I thought maybe today I could expound on them a little bit from Psalm 118, verses 14 through 17. The psalmist writes, "The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord." You know, I think when something like the passing of my mother or you know, any other tragedy strikes in life, I can think of the Bussey family who lost their young son. Jacob is 43, my mother is 56. And, you know, a lot of times when someone passes at those relatively young ages, we think, well, what is the Lord doing? Why is the Lord allowing these people to, or causing these people to end their life so early? You know, they still had so much living to do. And, you know, that's our earthly perspective, is that the Lord somehow messed up or made a mistake or did not do right by that person. But what this psalm reminds us is that the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. God does what is good, not just for the person going to heaven, but also for all of us who are still here left on earth. And though we may miss the individual or the person who leaves this world, we still rejoice in the strength and the song and the salvation of the Lord. And that's what this psalm says, is the rejoicing and salvation in the tents of the righteous. For the unbelieving world, for the unrighteous world, there is only hopelessness and sorrow and sadness at the passing of a loved one. But for the righteous, there is still rejoicing. There's salvation. That's why, you know, we regularly refer to a funeral service not as a time of sorrow, but we call it a victory service, a celebration in the salvation that was won by our Lord and through the strength of his right hand, of his mighty arm. And that's why we rejoice and say, Lord, you have done valiantly, even when you take a loved one away from us, even when the Lord, in his grace and mercy, decides to end the earthly days of someone who's very important to us, we still are able to be blessed and rejoice. And verse 17, I think, you know, sums it up. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. You know, there's been times in the last weeks and months where, boy, you just, you know, as I look at my mom suffering, you think, boy, I just, you know, I wish I could die instead. I wish I could die too. I wish this world could end. But the Lord has not ended my life yet. And so what am I going to do while I still remain? I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. You know, all of our goal and duty and purpose on this life is to continue to declare to the world the works of the Lord. And we do that when we live, and we do that when we die. You know, both Jacob and my mother, Desiree, they both, through their lives and through their facing the end of their lives, witnessed their Christian faith to their family, to their friends, to their loved ones. They declared the work of the Lord, and now they're in heaven. They showed how to die that Christian death, and now they're with the Lord. And now for you and I, it's still to continue to declare the works of the Lord, all that he has done for us, to look at his and declare his right hand is mighty. And one of the ways to do that is by the way that we handle our loved ones' passing. You know, we can We do not sorrow as those who have no hope. I can rejoice that my mother, where she is, there's no more pain. And to the world, that doesn't make sense, because to the world, the unbelieving world, it's just, you know, it's a terrible tragedy and there's nothing else to it. But for you and I, the Christian, there's that comfort, there's that joy that she's with the Lord and there forever. And that's how we can declare the work of the Lord, is saying, look what God has done in bringing these dear loved ones to heaven. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank and bless you for your great love and bringing Jacob and Desiree to yourself in heaven. We pray, Lord, that you would comfort the families of these, your dear children, encourage them with the wonderful truths that your right hand has done valiantly, that these ones who have gone before us are not dead, but live still. As Jesus promised, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. We know, Lord, that though their earthly bodies remain, their souls are with you in heaven. And we pray for that great day of return when you will bring them and all who believe, who have died and in you, back to this earth, reunite them with their bodies, and bring us all with you in the air to our eternal home in heaven. Bless us this day and continue to be our comfort, our strength, our song, and our salvation. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Number of announcements want to bring to your attention today. At long last, our Bible class picks up again. So we've been going through the book of James all the way up till Thanksgiving. We took a break for Thanksgiving and Advent, and now we are picking that up again today. So that's tonight at 7 o'clock. Our Bible class restarts. We're doing the Gospel of Mark. We have 6 weeks before Lent starts, and our goal is to do the entire Gospel of Mark in 6 weeks. So it's going to be a very accelerated pace, brief discussion on different sections, but we're going to try to take a look at the whole life of Jesus before we then zoom in during the Lenten season and look at his passive obedience then. Also coming up this weekend, we're kicking off our new family Sunday school lesson series, which is going to take place in the sanctuary beginning this weekend. That'd be the 9th and the 10th, Saturday and Sunday. We will be doing that Saturday evening at 7 after church, Sunday morning at 9 before church. And we're going to take a look at many of the different Sunday school lessons that you learned when you were a kid, and hopefully you can grow in your understanding of those now that you've matured a little bit, and also bring your children so they can continue to learn those important lessons as well. As far as this coming weekend, the other announcement we have is we got a guest preacher coming in this weekend. I'm going to be out of town for my mother's funeral, and our former vicar, Drew Nauman, is going to be coming in to substitute for us coming up this weekend. So he's going to kick off that family Sunday school lesson for us on Saturday and Sunday.
Yes. Yeah, so part of the reason for that too is Aaron and I both have COVID. So we've been staying at home trying to get over that. And so we're thankful that Drew Nauman is willing to come and guest preach for us.
Yeah. So that'll be great. We certainly keep you and Aaron in our prayers. And, you know, obviously it's not something you hope for, but now that you got it, we're praying that you recover and Lord give you patience to get through those tough health issues and get back stronger and better than ever. So as far as our prayer list, again, as we mentioned, my mother, one of the most faithful listeners to the Twin Steeples podcast. I know for sure she's the only person I know for sure has listened to every single one of these things. So she's home with the Lord now, and we need people out there to pick up the clicks on our podcast. We know people are listening, so that'd be good. Oh, that's a special announcement. I just got an email this week that we had our 1,000th download on Podbean. So Podbean was pretty excited to send us that. So congratulations, Neil. We've been doing this for 9 months, and we got our 1,000th click or download. Sweet. Yeah, so for what that's worth, I think, you know, obviously there's people who listen on all kinds of different platforms. So all you listeners out there, we appreciate you, and we're thankful that you pop in and listen to this and keep us all in your prayers and all the work we're doing here. So again, Jacob Bussey, also we mentioned, passed away on Christmas Eve, and the committal service was held this Monday morning. I was blessed to be able to do that. So please keep the Bussey family in your prayers going forward. We received word from Rachel and Kenny Housechild that one of their preemie sons, Liam, was released. However, the other one, due to infection, is about a week behind, they think. The challenge for them now is they have one child in the hospital, one child out. Obviously, both are nursing, so Rachel is going back and forth and back and forth, and really a challenging time for that family. So please keep them in your prayers, and we pray they get home soon. Lastly, we pray for Todd Bodie. He's in, I don't know how to say this, Pastor, Delano, however you want to pronounce it. He's in a physical rehab up there. He took a fall, and they're looking at possibly having performing surgery on him. I pray the Lord would give him strength to get through that and get back soon. We miss Todd, and he's had some health challenges lately, but pray that the Lord would bless him. Last thing we announce is this coming Monday, we start back in school again. So please keep the work of the school in your prayers. That'd be January 11th, Monday. We will be back in person. We are doing pretty much the same way we had been doing it before Thanksgiving, back before we went to distance learning. We'll be having class in the entryway and in the church, and the kids all spread out and masked and everything. And the Board of Ed and the faculty have been working very hard to make this a possibility. And we pray that the Lord would bless us with health and protect us from this virus, so that we are able to open up and stay open and continue the important work we have to do as a school here in teaching God's little children his holy word. This brings us to our doctrine of the day. Today is January 6th, as we mentioned, which is Epiphany on the church calendar. Any initial thoughts on what Epiphany is, what Epiphany means, why we celebrate it, Pastor?
Yeah, Epiphany is really the idea of bringing to light revelation. And so ultimately that revelation, I like to think of Simeon in the temple. When you think about that in Luke chapter 2, we think of the Christmas account early on there, but very shortly after that, you see the Simeon, the prophet in the temple, holding Jesus, also Anna the prophetess as well. And you see that acknowledgement that their eyes have seen their salvation, and that's the epiphany, that's the revelation from God, that this is now the Savior has been born, the promised Messiah for hundreds of years, for thousands of years. The Messiah is now born since the beginning of time in the garden after the fall. Now the revelation is that Christ is here, our Savior has been born. So Epiphany is really the reminder. It's got that evangelical theme to it, where we want to let that light be made known in this very dark world. And so I love Epiphany because it's just such a joyful time knowing that our light has come. And so it's really a continuation of the celebration of Christmas, but really specific emphasis, not just that this is God's Son, but what God has come to do and what God has revealed that he would do for you and for me.
One of my favorite movies when I was a kid was Hook. Have you ever seen that one?
Yeah.
There's a line in there where Smee, he's Captain Hook's right-hand man, and he goes, "Captain, I think I had an apostrophe." But he means an epiphany.
Nice.
You get it? And epiphany is like, you see the cartoons where a light bulb turns on, and it's like, boom, it's like all of a sudden this something strikes you or something happens where, you know, this idea comes to your mind, and all of a sudden it brightens up, right? And all of a sudden you know what to do, or you know the next step you have to take or what to do. And that's what, you know, Epiphany is it's that brightening, it's that lightening, it's an appearing, and it's really an emphasis on the Gentiles. And that's why Epiphany is really a celebration. It's known as the Gentile Christmas. And this is kind of where those, you know, that song on the first day of Christmas, you know, the 12 days of Christmas, that song. Yeah. That's where this is the 12th day of Christmas. So Christmas Day is the first day. We're 12 days after Christmas now. This is the 12th day of Christmas, which is the Gentile Christmas. And this is really looking at how Jesus came not just to save the Jews, not just Anna and Simeon, not just Mary and Joseph, but also the Gentiles. Epiphany is all about the Gentiles, which I'm very thankful for, because I am not a Jew. I don't think you are either, Pastor.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Jewish blood here, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your blood is. And obviously Jesus came to tell everybody that, you know, the Pharisees he would talk to later in his ministry, they were so proud because of their Jewish heritage, their Jewish blood. But if you go through the Old Testament, and as you mentioned with Simeon, right, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel, Jesus is the glory of Israel, but it's not just for Israel. It's also for all nations. And so Epiphany is when we celebrate the coming of the wise men, which it's one of these, that's one of those little pet peeves of mine, is all the little nativity scenes you see, where there's Jesus in the manger and there's Mary and Joseph and there's the shepherds with their sheep. But then also you see the wise men. Were the wise men there that first Christmas day?
No, unfortunately not. They came later on.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, yeah, I don't know if it's unfortunate or not, I guess, but it certainly, well, they were not there, right? I mean, we know that they had come, they came much later. And if you read through Matthew chapter 2, that this star appears after Jesus is born, these wise men who are from the east see that star and they come to find Jesus. Now, we don't know how far from the east they were. Do we have any good ideas or guesses where they might have been from? You got any ideas, Pastor?
I believe they were from Babylon area. So, I mean, they could have been further than that, but a lot of the, how did they know about this promised Messiah? And I think a lot of Bible scholars believe that if they came from the land of Babylon, the prophet Daniel would have lived there a few hundred years before that. But again, he was prophesying, as we see in the book of Daniel, of Christ's birth. And it makes sense to me on how they would be aware of this prophecy of the Savior's birth and go searching for that, having been those kind of, we call them the wise men, but we think about them being scholars, not just of the stars, obviously, not with just astronomy, but with the scriptures too, that was recorded, which Daniel would have also had with him too, not just the book of Daniel, but the other Old Testament prophets, that they made copies of their writings as well. So to me, it makes the most sense that it would have been from the land of Babylon that they would have come from.
Yeah,
I
think you're totally right. You know, I think, you know, Daniel was, he pretty much was a wise man, right? I mean, that was his job, was to advise the kings of first Babylon and later Persia, and, you know, that whole kind of middle crescent there, the Fertile Crescent, and that's where likely they came from. Maybe farther, we don't know for sure. India or even China, I don't know, but they were not there on the first day of Christmas. They saw that star when Jesus was born. They go on this long journey. Meanwhile, Joseph and Mary stay in Bethlehem, which might be a little surprising, because they just went down there to get taxed, right? And then for some reason, you know, the Lord decided to keep them there. The wise men show up there in Israel, and it seems as though the star disappeared for a while, and they couldn't find it. They go to Jerusalem, probably expecting everyone to have this baby held up on a pedestal. Like, you know, everyone's like, here he is, we've all been waiting, and it's a time, you know, but they go to Jerusalem and there's no sign of the Messiah, you know, on everyone's hearts and tongues. And they go to Herod and go to the scribes, and they say, well, he should have been born in Bethlehem if you're right. So they go down to Bethlehem, and sure enough, there they find Jesus. So likely Jesus is, you know, not, he's certainly not an infant, likely a toddler. We know that Herod went and killed all the baby boys who were 2 years and under. So likely, you know, anywhere between a year, 2 years, we'd expect our Savior to be when Jesus was actually, or when the wise men showed up to Jesus. So some misunderstanding there with Epiphany, but it's important that we understand what that today is all about, and, you know, how that light came to the Gentiles and how Jesus died and lived, not just for the Jews, but for all people.
Do you mind if I read a section that kind of summarizes from Acts 17?
Sure.
There's a couple of verses there. You know, you mentioned how the Lord, you know, this promise fulfillment was to all people, Jew and Gentile alike. And I like what Paul and the apostles were talking about, Acts 17, 26 to 28. It says, and he, that's the Lord, made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Kind of reminds me of what your devotion was all about, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. You know, it's a blessing that we are all children of God, and we think of Epiphany, of how that light was not just brought to the Jewish nation, like you mentioned, but to every nation under heaven, and this idea that we continue to seek the Lord and know that he's not far from us. His word is near our hearts, and it can be found throughout the entire world. And what a blessing it is that word promises that he's still with us today, because he's risen from the dead and he still reigns with us.
Amen. All right, let's take a look at our hymn of the day today. Hymn 132, which is from the Epiphany section. It's entitled, O God of God, O Light of Light. It goes, O God of God, O Light of Light, Thou Prince of Peace, Thou King of Kings, to Thee where angels knew no night, the song of praise forever rings. To Him who sits upon the throne, the Lamb once slain for sinful men, be honor, might, all by Him won, glory and praise. Amen, amen. Deep in the prophet's sacred page, grand in the poet's winged word, slowly in type from age to age, nations beheld their coming Lord, till through the deep Judean night rang out the song, goodwill to men, hymned by the firstborn sons of light, re-echoed now, goodwill, amen. That life of truth, those deeds of love, that death of pain mid hate and scorn, these all are past and now above, He reigns our King, once crowned with thorn. Lift up your heads, ye heavenly gates, so sang His hosts unheard by men. Lift up your heads, for you He waits. We lift them up. Amen, amen. Nations afar in ignorance deep, isles of the sea where darkness lay, these hear His voice, they wake from sleep and throng with joy the upward way. They cry with us, send forth Thy light, O Lamb once slain for sinful men. Burst Satan's bonds, O God of might, set all men free. Amen, amen. Sing to the Lord a glorious song. Sing to His name, His love forth tell. Sing on, heaven's host, His praise prolong. Sing ye who now on earth do dwell. Worthy the Lamb for sinners slain, from angels praise and thanks from men. Worthy the Lamb enthroned to reign. Glory and power. Amen, amen. Thank you for joining us for the Twin Steeples podcast. Once again, Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Mankato, Minnesota. Until next time, we pray that God would bless and keep you, and may you always remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.